Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue our study again by reading from the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It said, "Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings, he will not stand before obscure men." Now, Solomon was explaining a principle to us here, that is the principle by which God lifts people. You know, like we have been talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. My emphasis, which I must lay every time we speak on the subject, is for people to understand that life is basically spiritual. And the first thing about the opportunity for prosperity is that it must be created inside the heart. We have established that. We have come to understand that we must recognize that God is in charge. You know, to Nebuchadnezzar, God revealed himself as one who is in charge of the affairs of the realms of mankind and who gives the kingdom of men over to whomsoever he pleases or wishes, and who sets upon those kingdoms the lowliest of men. Now, what I ended up last time by explaining is the principle behind which God sets the lowliest of men over the realms of mankind. You know, I was explaining that sometimes as believers, we, of course, which we have come to understand, as a matter of fact, that the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. And I've established that east and the west refer to the circumstances around us. Are jobs available? How much is the dollar going for now? What are the things that are available for people to do their skills on the earth? Are the banks giving out money? Are connections bringing forth businesses for you? Those are the things that we call east and west. What's the economic environment like? And when I said, he also said that promotion does not come from the south, in that he is not using where you are coming from, that is, the qualifications of your life, your country of origin, the degrees you have, and the people that you know. You know, there are banks that will give you a job instantly because your father is ready to put in 200 million naira into their banks. As a matter of fact, yes, they do that, okay? It's ungodly, but it is done, all right? That is, so God said that, okay, that is south. I have somebody who can put in money on my behalf. Okay, now, so he said that promotion really does not come from that. That what promotion really comes from is God. That God is judge and he sets upon the kingdoms of men, Nebuchadnezzar said, the lowliest of men. So what does God use to put people in that place? That's what I'm looking at again. Having established that in our heart we must understand that opportunity for prosperity first must reside there. That from the heart flows forth the issues of life. We said there are things you will do outwardly that will help those things come to pass. You get the point I'm making? So that's why we read from this Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? Now notice here, his diligence and his skill in his business is not because of the surrounding circumstances. It is something that is inside his heart. It's not because of the certificate he has to show. It is because of something that is inside his heart. Are you getting my point? And that God is concerned about blessing the realms of mankind. He does not want the wicked to rule. That is, a man who will make things go bad, God does not want to put him in charge. So a man who is diligent and skillful, God wants him to rise to the position of prominence, to the position of authority. Please, you are getting my point. So now, what will God use? One of the major things he uses. Now, please, I'm trying to revise and continue at the same time. So it's kind of making me have to go up and down. Now, let me just quickly say this so I can sit down on what I want to say today. And that's, we said that there are three things basically that we need to employ. We said our gifts, and then we said our money, and we said our diligence. All right? We'll employ those things. We're still talking about the matter of skill. Now, God said here that if a man has skill and he's diligent, okay, if a man is skillful, if he uses the gift that I have given him, he will become one that will appear before kings. He will have people attracted towards him. He will be able to impart their lives. And according to the principle of give and it shall be given unto you that Jesus taught us in the book of Luke chapter 6, we find out that as a man outputs events, outputs resources, outputs skill, outputs issues into the lives of people, God's spirit will cause men to return back unto him. Now that thing, we have broken it down into the simple matter of trading, giving and receiving, giving services and receiving money in return, giving goods and receiving money in return. I emphasized last time that actually it is really a spiritual principle that we are operating. And that if a man sits down and commands so much resources and he has never really given anything out into the lives of people that we can really identify, then he's actually a spiritual rogue. Are you getting me? He's a spiritual parasite. What is happening is that he's leaking the resources of the earth. He's not multiplying it. Because God's order, we'll get to that later, is that we'll make things to multiply. Life is in seasons. There is a stage of planting. There is a stage of reaping. And then there is a stage, that's fruitfulness. And there is the last stage of multiplication. That is, we go back into the cycle of planting. But this time around, we have more to plant because we have already reaped in previous times. So if somebody is reaping and you can't see him planting, or he himself does not know what he's planting, then spiritually is a parasite. He's not increasing the resources, all right, on the earth. He's going into places that other people are putting into, and he's not contributing anything at all. So we said your skill is important because God has created you and formed you to do something to bless the lives of people. I ended last time by telling us that if God is going to break the rules of there's a way people, all right, get jobs, certificates and stuff and connection, and in your own case, we say promotion does not come from that. It comes from God. What does God really use to bring forth this uplifting, which makes him the judge of all, which makes him one that sits over the realms of mankind? We said it is because this man is skillful in his business. You know, I emphasized last time that God is not trying to promote mediocrity. Please, let's understand that. That, you know, sometimes as believers, we just say that, look, I have favor coming to me that I do not deserve. I want us to understand the meaning of the word that I do not deserve. When we say I do not deserve, I mean that where they were going to employ only Americans in America, they employed me as a Nigerian. That's what I did not deserve. If where they are planning to employ indigenous of a particular state, though I am not from that state, I got that one. Where they say the quota from my state had ended in admissions into university, yet I was able to break that restriction and get into the university, despite the fact that I am no longer, in quote, qualified because of my state of origin. Where they say that, where the banks are employing, and they say that if you cannot pull in deposits of 200 million naira, we will not employ you. Yet I was employed. Do you get my point? Where the bank said that, okay, if you don't have this level of qualification, we will never employ you. And then one day I find that I was there, not only employed, but commanding those who were employed before me. Now, get the point I'm trying to make here. Then you will say that I have experienced God's grace, I have experienced God's favor. Now, but why would God do it? Is that God would just wake up, I said that last time, and say, oh, my daughter, my son, just take the job. You don't deserve it. I said, that's not what God does. He does not entrench mediocrity. He's not trying to make people who can't walk rule. Are you getting the point? What does he do? It's a simple thing. I have a friend, this is a very, very good example. This young man, a friend and classmate, is a pharmacist. One day he came to my house when I was still in Lagos, and he came to give me a testimony of what God had done for him. Before then, they posted him. He's one of these big multinationals, a big pharmaceutical company in Nigeria. And he was working for them. And for years consecutively, listen to this, he was rated as their best salesman. And then one particular year, a job opened. He was going to be the regional sales manager. All right? Now, listen to this, though. The post opened in one part of the country, a very big part of the country. And they needed one person to be the regional sales manager for that whole zone. And it was quite an improvement. Now, he was based in Lagos, winning awards as the best salesperson. And he didn't feel he wanted to relocate from Lagos to go somewhere else. So he didn't apply for the job. I think he didn't even know the post was open. Then one day, somebody called him, I think one of his bosses, and said, why didn't you apply for this job? He said, I'm not interested. They said, go ahead and apply. He said, by the way, the application he found out, the date for application had closed. Now, this is favor I'm trying to describe. The boss said, yes, I know it has closed, but no problem. Go ahead and apply, and I will ensure that your application still goes in and beats the deadline, even after the deadline had ended. Do you understand the point? Now, please get the point I'm making. Why did his boss do that? It was because he found out that this man was better than every other person that had applied, yet the man did not apply for the job. I remember the other day, that was one international athletics event that was holding somewhere in Europe. And people like Michael Johnson. Remember this athlete, Michael Johnson? He was holding the world record for many years. Listen to this. When they were doing qualifiers in America, he was an American. When they were doing qualifiers for the meeting, do you know this man did not go for qualifiers? But when the IWAF people found out that Michael Johnson was not going to show and some other top world athletes, they broke the rules and gave them what they call wild cards. That is, come without representing your country. Come on your own. Come without going through qualifiers in any country. Come. Why? Because these are the best people in the world. Do you follow my point? Despite the fact that they did not have the relevant, it appears like, qualifications, because they had not gone for the qualifiers in their country, yet they made it. Some people were complaining. I said, why are you complaining? The man is good. That is the reason why he has gotten to this particular level. And my friend's case also, something like that happened. So his boss said, go ahead, apply. And he applied, and they put in his application even though the deadline had ended. I'm trying to explain something, that God doesn't just break rules for people. Not because I'm a child of God. My case is different. I'm a child of God. Like, I hate hearing testimonies of those who come and tell me, brethren, praise God, they did that course. I did not know anything. I was the dullest in the class. I was very, very stupid. I didn't come for the lecture. But do you know I had an A, and people will clap. I'm a university lecturer. If you give that kind of testimony near me, you stand a good chance of getting a knock on the head from me. The reason being that is not what God wants to do. Do you get my point? No. God wants you to learn. God wants you to become excellent. He will remove all the hindrances. He will remove all the lecturers that don't like you for your sake. He will remove hindrances that are working against your excellence. But he wants you to be excellent. When he was going to lift up Daniel and his brothers, he said that they found them 10 times better when they examined them concerning all the learnings of the Chaldeans and all matters of literature and such things. He found them to be 10 times better. Therefore, he appointed them into his personal staff. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. So we know that you may not be connected. We know that you may not have the relevant degrees. We know you may not have the relevant qualification, but then they should hear your words. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries can resist or gainsay. I'm talking about skill. Do you get my point? Let me not leave the story of my friend and forget it. So when they interviewed him, of course, by the time he went in, his boss knew that this is the guy we are giving the job to. So they gave him the job, and then he had to relocate. I went up there to go and take up the appointment. Now, let me cut a long story short. After a while, after many years, a number of things happened. This was actually another Nigerian. There's a lot of crisis and stuff like that. So he now was tired, all right? For many other, they had some personal issues. He now decided that, okay, he wanted to leave that part of the country and come back to Lagos. But then, of course, before then, he knew that his company was not planning to transfer him. So he wrote his resignation. Please listen to this again. And submitted to his boss. Now, this is a multinational company. The media supervising people over the ones in Nigeria are based in South Africa. Now, his boss in Nigeria, immediate boss, probably not liking him for certain reasons, rivalry matters, accepted his resignation, immediately submitted it. But before he left the job, their big boss from South Africa visited Nigeria. And while he was checking what was going on, he found out that this my friend had resigned the job. Now, listen to this. And he noticed also that this guy had been the best salesman they've had for years. And the part of the country he went to cover, they became the best-selling region again. You know, the guy was just getting results everywhere he went. Now, listen to this. He asked the bosses. He said, in fact, he was very angry with the Nigerian bosses, that you allow your best staff to resign. So he told them, he gave them an instruction that he doesn't want that guy to resign. That don't you understand we're in this business? If he leaves you, do you think he's going home to go and be cooking yam? You think he's going to go home and go and sell granite? He's leaving you and going to your competitors. He will leave you and go to your rivals and take the skill with which he was making you excel and go and put it somewhere else, and your rivals will start. No, this was what the boss from South Africa told the Nigerian bosses. So he gave them a mandate to go and ensure that they do whatever they have to do to make sure that boy doesn't go anywhere. Bosses now called him and said, why are you leaving? He told them simply, I have nothing against the company. The issues are personal. I'm tired. I have so many personal issues. I just want to relocate. So you want to live where you are right now? He said, yes. Where do you want to go? He said, I want to come back to Lagos. They said, okay, done. Lagos, you get. Any other thing? He said, I'm tired of the position where I am. I want a higher position. They looked and said, well, there's only one problem. The position that we can put you in above where you are right now is not vacant. And we do not want to, you know, just sack somebody. We don't know what to do about that. He said, please, do us a favor. We will retain you on your particular position where we can fit you into our establishment in Lagos. But we'll pay you the salary of the next level you asked for, if it is money. He said, but so that we don't cause discontent amongst our staff, you are not going to tell anybody how much we are paying you. We'll pay you like everybody else at the end of the month and at the end of each season. He said, but we will calculate the difference and pay you up front at the beginning of the year. So that when your payslip is coming out, you get the same thing as everybody on your level. But actually, the difference between you and the next level you want to be promoted to will pay you up at the beginning of the year. Seest thou a man that is skillful and diligent in his work? He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before me men. That day walked into my house in Lagos. He says, oh boy, here I am. I'm back with you here in Lagos. Because, listen, his big bosses from outside Nigeria instructed the Nigerian bosses that you don't lose your best staff and you will be happy with it. Whatever you have to do, I want to come back knowing that this boy is still on staff. Listen to me. Whatever qualification he doesn't have or has at that time is not the point. Whether he has done an MBA or an MBF, MBA marketing, MBA Harvard is not the issue. It's that for years consecutively, he had been showing them that he's the skillful man that they require to make their business grow. Do you get my point? Let me tell you how to make it in life as Christians. Make sure that wherever you are, if you say you want to go, everybody starts crying. Let it not be a case of good riddance. One of the things I hate about Christians, I'm sorry to say, they will abandon their work, say they have gone to church. I say they think it's a greater service to God to be useless at work but be faithful in church. If I'm the pastor of your church, you can be sure I'll be the first to sack you. Are you getting my point? No, really. I'm not interested in people who hanging around me doing yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, and thinking they are serving God. No, whatever you have to do in life, wherever you are doing your business, you must be diligent there. See, God doesn't want to use your qualifications to promote you, but he requires you to be skillful. Daniel didn't have to be a Babylonian, but he had to have the skill for Nebuchadnezzar to recognize him. Are you getting the point I'm making? Joseph did not have to be an Egyptian, but he had the interpretation of dreams in his life. He had the ability to provide solutions to the things that he had seen by interpreting that dream. That was what made him prime minister. We want to go to church and go and testify. Praise God. I just prayed and I got promotion. I know I did not qualify for it. In fact, I had 5 queries the year before. Listen to me. The queries that God will overcome for you are the queries that come unjustly. If your bosses give you query because you are irresponsible, you left the business, all right, to go for your cousin's birthday in Lagos. Listen to me. God will sack you before your boss does it. I know what I am saying. You know, one of the things that we must understand as Christians is that God does not enjoy mediocrity. One of the things I said before that SAP did for Nigerians was that it made Nigerians productive in such a manner that Nigerians realized that you don't just sit down home and earn a fast salary and be happy. Next, I want to talk about how to create opportunities with your wealth. Because some people earn a lot of fast salary, all they do with the money is to buy cars and buy expensive clothes. You were wearing normal suits before, now you must wear an Armani that goes for $1,000. Why? Because you are earning money. All you do is spend. Listen, if they pay you more money than you require in life, it is because God has given you a responsibility that he has not given other people. You have to be generous to the poor. You have to sponsor the work of the ministry of God. And you have to invest in the society so that other people can have jobs. One of my friends called me in a few days, one of my brethren. He said he had not called me in a while. If I was joking, I said, what did I do right yesterday that made you remember me today? He said he just wanted to mark presents. We made a joke of it. I said, how is so-so-so I'm so pleased where you are? He said, I'm no longer there, sir. I'm in another part of the country. I said, what is going on? He said, I did not tell you that I resigned, listen to this, from an oil company. Before he resigned, then, another of our friends once told me that I'm working in a company that's owned by one of our brethren. He was working in an oil company, yet he had a company. Listen, they were doing contracts and big jobs, listen, for big telecommunication company. Now, so that's what he was doing. He was there, and he made a statement once. That the job he's doing, working at Oilcom, they were paying him very well. Of course, you can imagine. Even when his company probably had some issues, he could liquidate that company, collect all the money that he would sell the company for, and go and invest. He knew about investments. All right? Maybe in shares and stocks and stuff, other ways to multiply money, all those kind of things. He said, no, but people work in my company. Eventually, he made up his mind to resign a well-paying job to face the company. I don't know how much money he was making. I'm not judging on that. Okay? But so that the company might grow, that more people can work. Now, get the point I'm making. A lot of people, all they do with their fat salary is to eat fat. Please, if you eat too much, one day you will choke. Please, get the point I'm making here. It's not good. When the rich man who harvested extensively 1 year came to himself and said, let me build up and store and then relax and say, sold, you have much good laid up for the future. Take your rest, take your ease and enjoy. Jesus said, you are a fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Do you get my point?
He said, this is how a man is who is not rich toward God. How will he be rich toward God? He should have invested that money and created just for other people. He should have given out most of that food to the poor. That's how you are rich towards God. Lord, you pay them fast salary. The first way they show it off is they buy a fat car and drive back to the campus and show that they have arrived. I feel sorry for you. You are displeasing God, you don't know. I tell young men, the first year you work and they pay you money, one thing you don't need is a car. One thing you don't need is a plasma TV. What's your first assignment, the first year you earn a lot of money? Go and start honoring those people that you should have honored. Go and start honoring those who blessed you in the past. Go start investing for the future. What are you doing with a fat car and brand new car to show off to who? I like when the Bishop Oyedepo used to tell us those days. He said, the one thing about cars, they catch fire. They get stolen. They are perishable things. You don't use your seed money on such things. Are you getting my point? So when he told me, he said, that this job he's now doing, he's doing it full time. I said, so how is business going? He said, sir, the problem I have is meeting up with the demands of my clients. I said, in that case, you have a good problem. It is not as if I don't have clients. It's that my clients now have so much for me to do that I'm having issues. You know what that means? It means I have to employ more people. Now, let me interpret it for you. It means we have to expand the office. It means we have to create more jobs. All, you know, most of us like to sit down and say, government is not helping us. Listen, they asked the government once in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. They were asking the government. A woman shouted, help, O Lord, the king. He said, from where do I help you? If God does not help you, how can I help you? A lot of us sit down and you're asking for government. Listen to me. God said, I have given you resources. You people have prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm ready to answer your prayer. What am I talking about? If you open your Bible to Psalm 126, it says, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the deserts. That's reading from New Living Translation. And God answered, he said, those who plant in tears, we harvest with shouts of joy. Those who weep as they go to plant their seed, he said, they will sing as they return with the harvest. That is, the harvest will be so bountiful, they will begin to sing. Where people said things couldn't work before, they sowed in tears. There is a way we do this. Sometimes we think that sowing in tears means only giving offering in tears. That is very good. You should give to God even the midst of your lack. But just as importantly, God said, you have prayed and you have sowed your spiritual seed. Now, I have given you some money. You remember I said something that there are three things I'm going to talk about. All right? About what we do outwardly. Number one, talking about our skills. Now, I have now drifted gently into talking about what we do with money. Then we'll talk about diligence, which is very, very important. I've already talked about skill, a little bit about diligence, talking about skill, but I'll come back to the matter of diligence in a while, all right? So that we'll understand the importance, how to link the three. Now, talking about that money matter, he said, restore our captivity as streams in the desert. That is, we're in a desert land, and we want this land to flourish again. There is power failure every time. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is problems with roads. There's problem with infrastructure. There's problem with healthcare. God said, I have heard your prayers. Now, this is what the next stage we get into. We need to sow in tears. Are you getting what I mean by sowing in tears? That is, I have extra money. I don't have to eat it. I can invest in something. Let me give practical tips. I'm not a business consultant. I'm a spiritual man. If you see, I have spoken on the spiritual aspect for more than 12 out of these 14 thereabout episodes of teaching on this particular topic. But I have spoken mostly, like I said, on the spiritual aspect. I just want to put a few tips before we round off this whole subject, because shortly after now, I'll round it off, all right? About creating the opportunities for prosperity. A few friends can gather together, put their money together, pray about them, and I'm going to talk about prayer before I leave. Pray about it and invest in something. The problem with people is that sometimes they will tell you that this country is very risky. Listen to me, there is no country that's not risky in the world. There is no man who has invested that essentially did not take a form of risk. Helen Keller said, those who run away from taking risk because of fear of failure, he said, if you look at it on the long run, they are not even safer. She was talking about the fear of death, actually. I'm just adapting to fear of failure. He said, they are not safer on the long run than those who just simply faced the danger. Are you getting my point? I like what Robert Kiyosaki said. He said, I know, and of course I'm sure you too. He said, I know many poor men who have never lost a dime. They've never lost money. He said, but I don't know one rich man that has never lost money. There are times businesses go bad. It is not ungodly. The Bible says a righteous man can fall 7 times. One of the wealthiest Christians in this world, Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels said the first 3 businesses he started collapsed. They failed. Somebody asked his wife, how did you manage to hold up all that while? He said, the man said it will not always be like this, and I believed him. He said, somehow I just knew it will not always be like this. There is nowhere that is safe in the world. Now, in fact, it's as if God made this happen so I can preach a good message. America right now has a problem, economically. I was watching a program the other day, analyzing the impact American economy is having on even Indian companies. There was an Indian company that makes some kind of crafts material. I said they exclusively, their market was America. But right now, sales have dropped seriously because of the crash in the price of the dollar, which means that compared to the rupee, that's the Indian currency, all right, the rupee is now getting expensive. So when they ship to America, their goods now appear expensive because the goods are manufactured under the rupee coverage, being sold under dollar coverage, which makes them quite expensive. So demand has dropped. George Bush came on air a few days ago and publicly admitted the American economy has slowed down drastically. Somebody said he was just being nice. That those who want to tell the truth will tell you they are in recession. Now, what am I trying to say? That there is no safe place, none. One of my friends told me about how many of his friends in America are suffering because they were into real estate business, which really took a serious hit in this American problem. He said the only ones amongst them that are surviving the effect were those who, when they were making money, came to Lagos to invest in property. He said because the value of the Lagos property kept on increasing. So when the one in America crashed, the boys came down home, liquidated some of their investment, took dollars back to go and salvage their business in America. Listen to me, there is no security anywhere. That's what I am trying to explain. So you earn a lot of money, they are paying you. I mean, look, listen, I told you something last time, that there's nobody earning plenty because he's smarter than other people. It's because that God has given you an assignment which he believes you have the capability to handle. So if you refuse to handle, it's actually negligence on your part and you are liable for judgment. So if you friends can gather together and invest in the economy, he said, this thing can work like this if only we had the money. He said, but oh boy, you have money now. Between you and I, we earn over 1.5 million naira every month. We can gather 10 of us who will contribute 500,000 naira each for 6 months. And at the end of that, we will have gathered 30 million naira. What can we not do with 30 million? But you know what we'd rather do? Rather eat the money. There's a new Toyota out. You buy it. Have you seen that new 5 Series BMW? You buy it. You are eating the future. Now, get my point. I like one thing Robert Kiyosaki said in his books, that he started eating after his seed, that is his investment, has started laying eggs. You get my point? After the earlier investment has started producing. Then one day his wife woke up and bought a brand new Mercedes-Benz, which for an American is a lot of luxury. Forget that we see it all over the streets in Nigeria. For them, it's a lot of luxury. Said, but then it was no longer a problem. They had invested something in the society. Don't forget that thing. That is a responsibility that you and I have. Do you get my point? To bless our society. Not to drive brand new cars over bad roads. No. I'm not saying brand new cars are bad or good cars are bad. I love a good car. I love a big one. Do you get the point? But I'm saying that everything must have its place. You must prioritize properly. Listen, you don't have to start a school yourself. You can finance one. I like one of my friends, a blessed man in the Lord, a co-worker in this ministry. Told me one of the things he does, he will tell his young men in his church who go around saying, sir, I don't have anything to do. He said, go and write me a proposal. What is it that you can do? Go and write it. They will write, he will examine it, he will interview the young men. When they show, of course, they are young boys. It's little money they're asking for. All right? And that's it. He invests in their business. And that's it. He has taken another beggar off his back. No, do you get my point? And let me tell you something. A lot of people become very wealthy in life. That's how it is. You can invest in people's business and be holding 40% stake in the bank. But before you know what's happening, at the end of 10 years, you have started up to 100 businesses in which you hold 40%. Half of them might collapse, but the other half that survive, two of them will become top blue chip companies that only you. Listen, two of them will be that only you own maybe 50% in each one. They say, I'm a very lucky man. No, I'm a blessed man because I was interested in sowing into the community. He said, restore our captivity, O God, as streams within the desert. And God said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing his bag of seed, shall doubtless again return with rejoicing,
carrying his harvest with him. That's the principle I want us to understand.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.